This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to New Books in Sociology, a channel on the New Books Network. I'm Sarah Patterson, and today I'm speaking with Marcus Maloney and Stephen Roberts about their new book with Timothy Graham, Gender, Masculinity, and Video Gaming, Analyzing Reddit's Our Gaming Community. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about each of you and how the book came about.
I'm Marcus Maloney, sociology lecturer at Coventry University, the UK. Came out here a couple of years ago from Australia, which is where I met Steve. Steve, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Steve Roberts. I'm an associate professor of sociology at Monash University in Melbourne. And yeah, Marcus and I met in Melbourne and we've kind of done the reverse. I came from the UK to Australia to ply my trade and Marcus has done the reverse.
Huge shout out to Timothy Graham, Queensland University of Technology. Couldn't be with us today because he was looking after his family. Oh, about the book. So how did it come about? In a broader sense, I've been a sort of a gamer all my life, but I guess in sort of recent years in terms of research and stuff, I became increasingly sort of interested in what was going on in terms of the community, especially in sort of post sort of social media and YouTube and how that, you know, that it becomes very, you know, sort of online communities or fan communities become very sort of visible or whatever. And it seemed to me that there was some sort of change going on. But anyway, so yeah, I met Steve at Monash when I was working there. And we did a paper looking at celebrity gamers on YouTube. So guys like PewDiePie, for example, was one of the guys we focused on. And so the paper was published in New Media and Society. And it was essentially similar territory. We were kind of looking at the kind of complexities of their kind of masculinity, their sort of their identity and their performances and how it was sort of quite playful. You know, there was some sort of orthodox traditional sort of expressions there, but also some kind of, you know, inclusive or sort of progressive stuff as well, all kind of mixed, jumbled together in these guys' videos. You know, as you know, Sarah, you know, at the end of papers, there's always that sort of section where you go, you know, future research might look at this, that, or the other. And, you know, we all have to kind of, it's kind of an obligatory thing that we put in there. And we wrote in that paper, well, we were only looking at sort of very high profile celebrity gamers. And yes, there seemed to be this kind of this suggestion of kind of social change at that level. But maybe what's more important is to kind of try and track this. Is it there or is it not there in terms of the broader community of sort of ordinary male gamers or whatever? And that's when Tim, who does, you know, sort of great computational work, you know, I sort of was talking to him at the time. We were both conveners of the Cultural Sociology Group at Australian Sociological Association. And I shared the paper that me and Steve did with him and he loved it. And he sort of focused on that little section and said, hey, I've got some ways that we could actually do this. So at that point, I was just sort of like, you know, talking to Tim about sort of a paper and it sort of started to blow out. And then Steve came back on and was like, hey, guys, you don't mind me quoting you here, Steve. He said, why don't we do a book? And I said, you must be crazy. No. And it's a great idea. So, I mean, ultimately it was really the book was ultimately, I guess, Steve's idea, but it was that kind of long, you know, the organic process that we all sort of go through with that.
Can you set the stage for us and explain Reddit and the R gaming community?
Okay. Well, feel free to jump in if I miss anything here, Steve. So, Reddit's a huge social media platform. It's maybe one of the top five or something like that. What's interesting about it, though, is that, you know, like when I'm doing sort of social media stuff with students in classes, it's not one that immediately comes to mind in the same way as sort of Facebook or Twitter, even though in terms of numbers, it's really popular. So I think it holds this sort of odd place where it's, you know, in terms of overall numbers, it's a very sort of popular social media platform, but it seems to be popular with a particular type of social media user, sort of fandoms and sort of interest groups, especially ones associated with kind of geek culture. And I guess also, you know, it's predominantly males still who use Reddit, and according to their own data. And so it really is associated with that kind of idea of geek masculinity, which, of course, we can sort of go into in more detail across the podcast. And then the subreddit, for the uninitiated, a subreddit is essentially a sub-forum on the bigger Reddit platform. And, you know, and Reddit has, I mean, increasingly it has a sort of subreddit for any sort of interest group you can think of, from, you know, sort of computer programming to kind of Beyonce or whatever. But traditionally they did tend to be associated with sort of computer geek culture type stuff. And R gaming, it is, I think still at this point, it's sort of the largest, not just the largest subreddit for gaming, but I think the largest sort of online meeting space for gamers, I'm pretty sure. Within the subreddit, you then have posts, which are like, you know, people posting images or comments, and then you have comments replying to those. And the kind of key feature of Reddit is the upvote downvote system, where posts and comments are voted on by the rest of the users, and they either end up with a kind of a negative score or a positive score. And of course, this is really great for kind of researchers in terms of getting a sense not just of the content, but kind of responses to the content.
Give us a quick overview of your methodology.
Yeah, I can chip in there. Actually, one extra thing, I think Marcus might have touched on this already, but it's just to say that R gaming is this space that is ostensibly masculine as well. So it's kind of writers like Adrian Massonari and Alice Marwick have talked about Reddit as being this kind of almost white supremacist, hyper white masculinity space that privileges like technical expertise and particular types of knowledge. And yeah, so going back to like kind of like geek masculinity as being this really overarching sense of the space that other researchers have picked up before. So that's one of the reasons that we came to the spaces, you know, as well as its size, its kind of character, I suppose, as well as it identified by other researchers, is what made it appealing for us. But the methods, yeah, super briefly, and I think like we'll shout out for Tim Graham again, because he was so important in this whole process. But basically, it's a proper mixed methods study. And I say that with the greatest of affection, actually, because I don't necessarily refer to myself as a mixed methods researcher, or I haven't done a lot of properly mixed methods. I've done a lot of multi-methods, I think. But here we have, in the book, we refer to Susan Halford's work on symphonic social science. And this is in the sense that, yeah, you know, it's the bringing together of computational survey techniques and more conventional qualitative stuff in terms of analyzing the comments in our gaming. And yeah, it's bringing them together to help answer this conundrum about what kinds of masculinity or masculinities operate in this space and how we can make sense of it. So like it was genuinely symphonic and bringing together lots of methods. And Tim is amazing at this kind of stuff and was able to do a variety of text processing techniques that lead to a computational analysis through topic modeling and sentiment analysis, which I know Marcus might want to talk to in a moment. And basically what happened is we started with something like 6.5 million comments on Reddit over the course of 1 year, 2016 to 2017. And Tim filtered this down into two particular data sets that we could work with. So they were based around language and obviously limitations around that. But we basically generated what we described as a masculine gendered and a feminine gendered data set. So, and each of those is focusing on the nouns and pronouns that are either like feminine gendered or masculine gendered. And that's how we analyze them. So there was some overlap in terms of the comments, but broadly speaking, anytime she, her, or whatever was in the text, then that became what we described as the feminine gendered comments, and he, him, and so on was masculine gendered. And we recognize the kind of limits to that around non-binary and so on. But in terms of just wrestling with this huge data set, that's what we went with to try and make sense of what was in there. And it still ended up with, you know, fairly huge data set. So one of them was, so the feminine gendered data set was around 140,000 comments. And the other one, I think the masculine gendered one was much, much bigger, like nearly 500,000 comments. So yeah, these two huge data sets have a variety of computational techniques and then some qualitative conventional stuff where we kind of worked through the comments manually, I guess, and tried to analyze them in terms of a theoretical framework.
I'll just add something to that. As we say in the book, I mean, when you start with something like 6 million sort of comments overall across a year's period in the subreddit, you know, had we attempted to sort of analyze that at any level with a view to our sort of research question, you just end up with just all this noise, essentially. So that, you know, sort of narrowing down to those two data sets, you know, as we, yeah, again, as we say in the book, we don't claim to see absolutely everything that's on that, in that space. But what we have done is designed to make sure that everything that we do have, and as Steve says, these are very large data sets in themselves, it ensures that everything in there is relevant to the study, if that makes sense.
The book talks about gender, masculinity, and video gaming. And in your book, those topics are ever intertwining. I was hoping you could pull them apart a bit for us, first by talking about gender and masculinity, and then bring in video game culture.
Look, in terms of theory, what was really helpful for us and necessary, actually, was bringing in a whole range of different resources. So in the book, we talk at length about the different types of ideas that help us theorize and make sense of masculinity. So especially hegemonic masculinity, so the idea of domination and a kind of legitimation of oppressive gender relations, so drawing on homophobia and misogyny, and how this creates a kind of masculine hierarchy where the hegemonic form is dominant and all other forms of masculinity or behavior that is kind of masculine in operation sits in relation to this hegemonic form at the top and that is kind of dominant and oppressive. And that was one of the main frames. But we also, to make sense of this, the full kind of range of behavior, we felt that hegemonic masculinity doesn't allow much in the way of agency, I suppose. And certainly, Marcus and I have written about this ourselves, actually, that a focus just on hegemonic masculinity can draw your attention away from and towards only very negative components of masculinity, of which there are many. So what we did, we drew on this whole range of ideas. So from Eric Anderson's work on inclusive masculinities, perhaps to a lesser extent, James Messerschmidt's newest stuff on kind of positive masculinities and his kind of ideas that we need to at least be aware of or make sense of what he describes as non-hegemonic masculinities. And then we also used this other work by some Scandinavian scholars, Hammerin and Johansson, and they talk about the difference between these two concepts, vertical and horizontal sociality. And so vertical sociality is kind of like, it's a bit like Rowan Connell's writing on hegemonic masculinity and has some overlaps with Massanari's work on geek masculinity. But basically here in a kind of sociality in a social space, we're looking at things like an emphasis on domination and subordination of, in this case, other redditors through things like technical mastery or homophobic and sexist jibes and so on. And then horizontal sociality is this kind of, it kind of sits in contrast, really. It's a kind of negotiation or sociality between two or more members of this group or space. And the important thing is that it's not about domination. So it's more kind of, yeah, it's as it says, it's horizontal. So Hammerin and Johansson describe it as non-profitable, basically. So it's about group cohesion and connection and not male hierarchies, which is the emphasis in hegemonic masculinity.
You get into your methodology of sentiment scores by looking at downvoting and upvoting patterns as well as text. Can you explain more about that and how that works?
Yeah. So again, what is this, the third shout out to Tim. Hey, Tim. Yeah, well, actually, so there's two sort of dimensions to that. First, we had a sort of sentiment analysis and then a voting analysis that, yeah, as you suggest, they're kind of in the same section. And I mean, it's fascinating work. So with the sentiment analysis, essentially you take the two data sets and you're kind of sort of measuring the sort of emotional or affective character of the sort of the data set overall. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you how a computer program does that, but it does do it apparently. So, I mean, you know, to give you an example of, you know, one of the interesting findings there is, for example, the sentiment becomes more inflamed when the comments are masculine gendered than when they're feminine gendered. Where things, I think, get even more interesting and where it sort of led into the kind of qualitative stuff that me and Steve can then talk about next is in the voting patterns. So and there was really a kind of mix of stuff here in terms of what we're looking for in terms of theoretically what Steve was just talking about. So, for example, with the masculine gendered set, we found that the top five most downvoted comments in the period were exactly the sorts of kind of, you know, what you could broadly call sort of toxic, sort of male gamer type comments. You know, I don't have the examples in front of me, but, you know, the sorts of comments that previous work has really sort of identified as being characteristic of the community in terms of sort of sexism, sort of aggressive, and so on. And it was surprising to us that, you know, as I said, that the top five, you know, most downvoted, which is to say least approved of comments across that year, were precisely that sort of commentary. But then on the other hand, when you looked at the most upvoted comments, there was a mix of stuff. And generally it was sort of benign, the commentary, but that, I mean, as a start, that finding in itself was surprising to us, that the kinds of comments that are associated with this sort of toxic geek masculinity, at least during this year, were actually significant, you know, heavily downvoted by the broader community. We should add to this, by the way, and we talk about this in the book, that the period that we're looking at is, you know, what we refer to as in the wake of the Gamergate scandal, which, of course, for people who don't know that, it was sort of a very famous example of sort of essentially sort of gendered harassment and, you know, virtual sort of assault in terms of comments and stuff, all sort of coalescing around this sort of fight between progressives and conservatives in the gaming community.
Yeah, I'll just add in a couple of points just to flesh that out in terms of the type of stuff that that was in that top five up and down voted. So I think Marcus has captured the overarching frame really well. But just to give you an example, so the most downvoted comment had this like a sexual reference to like an innuendo about someone's family member, like female family members. So something about, and it was actually, I say this with inverted commas, like relatively tame, because it was about, if I wanted a kiss, I'd call your mother. And that was the most downvoted comment on in the data set. There's also some stuff about gaming in there as well, which probably draws extra attention to it being downvoted. And then in the upvoted space, like there's this, as Marcus was saying, there's a mix. And on the one hand, we've got very specific comments that are upvoted and are notoriously negative. You know, they're talking like sexualizing images of a sexy mom, for example, was amongst the top five upvoted. But within that top five as well, like the first one, for example, is about gaming. It doesn't have any negative or positive gendered context. It's very specifically about gaming. And then the second and fourth ones are these kind of more marginalizing rhetoric. So you get this mix of what's going on in terms of the upvoted and the downvoted kind of was a bit more surprising.
You discuss themes from the masculine gendered comments and discourse. What did you find in general?
So in this section, we moved on to a qualitative analysis of the comments, basically. So we've done all this computational stuff and got these trends and patterns through the upvoting. And here we're interested in like what we saw and how we could work with the theory ourselves through a qualitative assessment. And the masculine gender data set is quite split. So here I referred earlier to these scholars, Hammerin and Johansson, and their work was quite important here. So basically about 40% of the comments in the masculine gendered set were like basically hierarchical or what Hammerin and Johansson call vertical. forms of sociality. So it's a bit like hegemonic masculinity. It's a bit like Masanari stuff on geek masculinity. And it's basically this, yeah, this technical expertise around pop cultural knowledge or stuff to do with computing and gaming that comes through in a way that's kind of tied to some version of broader social inequalities. But I think we were quite conservative with our selection here. So things that sneak through, or not sneak through, things that we characterized as being indicative of this vertical sociality include things like, so I've got a quote with me now, which is, you know, it's not super exciting, but this is the kind of thing that we include. And it's a guy talking about how games seem to think shotguns penetrate armor and can hit seven guys all at once, which is the exact opposite of what they do in real life. So this is someone saying, you know, making this comparison of, I know what a gun really does, and demonstrating his mastery of a real life masculinist pursuit, shooting, and the gaming context of this as well. So this is an implicitly kind of vertical operation where he's demonstrating his knowledge. So that's the kind of thing that fit this 40% of these comments. And then on the other hand, the majority of the comments in the masculine gendered data set was 60% basically. They fell into what we described earlier as being horizontal. So this kind of like, you know, shoulder to shoulder, working together rather than against one another necessarily. So it wasn't about dominance, but about, yeah, non-profitable cohesion and even maybe even interpersonal kind of contact. So things like people talking about how proud they are to play, get to do gaming with their kids. And I suppose here there's some, you know, some people might say, ah, oh, that's also a negative comment. But when you read the comments in the full context of the data set, you can see there's no ambition for dominance here. There's no position taking. Perhaps you could say like a dad being proud of his kid gaming is, you know, at the edges of what counts as horizontal or vertical. But for us, there was plenty of this stuff. So most of the gamers' comments in this kind of horizontal category were talking about like nostalgia and kinship between users and between, yeah, parents and children, basically. So, and I suppose the thing that we wanted to really reflect on that is that we're not necessarily surprised. So this is a masculine gender data set. So it's people, posters, talking about he and him. And we're not surprised that this was not adversarial. And this is the kind of things we expected. But I should also add that a very small number of comments in this data set, so only around 29 of the 450 that we analyzed qualitatively, were like very negative. So there was still some kind of forceful takedowns of various individuals with like quite negative and aggressive content. But on the whole, that wasn't the case. And similarly, right at the other extreme, there were some super positive comments of people giving praise to one another. So it's very rare, but it was horizontal to the point of being praising of one another.
What was also, and this is not in no way a sort of a dominant theme or whatever, but it was interesting to us that even within this masculine data set, there were a number of sort of comments that emerged that were actually focused on sort of feminine gender issues within the community. And sort of almost sort of activist style pushback against some of the stuff that I guess we're going to talk about with respect to the next data set. But yeah, as Steve said, you know, this was all comments featuring masculine pronouns. And yet even with this, we start to see, you know, sort of instances, quite a number of sort of instances, well, enough to be kind of notable, that of stuff that was actually focused on kind of this, some of these kind of problematic gender issues in the community in terms of treatment towards women, girls and women.
You also discussed themes from the feminine gendered comments and discourse. What did you find there?
Yeah, well, this is where everything kind of almost kind of blows apart. I mean, I think we refer to it in the book or whatever. It sort of becomes the kind of crux of the entire sort of research question. The sort of overall description we would give this in terms of our analysis of the data set is that it really conveyed a sense that this is a very much a contested community, a war, you know, if not a, in some ways a kind of community in conflict with itself in terms of attitudes towards girls and women in the community, sort of gender attitudes more broadly, and also in terms of attitudes towards sort of feminine representation in games, so sort of female characters and so on. I mean, it's probably best to start in terms of what we saw at the kind of polar ends of the spectrum. And here, you know, on one side, you had a you know, a small but absolutely not insignificant in any way. I don't have the exact percentages on me, but, you know, that's why everyone can buy a book. But but basically a small, very clear, significant contingent of, again, you know, just to kind of use the terminology, you know, clearly toxic voices expressing themselves in this space across this year. So we're talking about, I mean, what was the category that we actually used to refer to it, Steve?
Marginalizing, we called it. And actually got the data in front of me. So it's 28% was marginalizing comments. So you can see it was a healthy, well, an unhealthy because it's toxic, like a relatively significant minority of comments. But I think what's interesting, and as Marcus will get to in a moment, is that's still a minority, you know? So the absolute, the dregs, the kind of nasty stuff that we all, that many of us and the general public would definitely associate with spaces like our gaming, like that was in the minority. It was there, it was vivid, it's horrible, it's sexualizing and objectifying and demeaning and dismissive of girls and women, but it's only at 28%. It's not quite as, you know, as widespread as we would imagine. So
exactly. So in that sense, you know, this was the kind of commentary that absolutely confirms kind of existing research on geek masculinity specifically, especially in sort of gaming specifically. Where it gets interesting then, again, so we're talking the sort of polar ends, these small but not insignificant numbers. I think around 20% was very overtly sort of activist pushback against those sorts of voices. And again, keep in mind in terms of the demographics of Reddit and a subreddit like this, this is a predominantly male space. So those were the, and I think, yeah, again, sort of, it was a smaller but comparable sort of cohort of comments expressing very overtly progressives, or, you know, what you might call socio-positive views, directly sort of against that kind of stuff. So sort of aware of these issues in community, expressing support for, well, not just sort of girls and women in the community or female representation in games, but, you know, the conversations were clearly getting broader, broadening out in terms of this being an issue for society as a whole. So, you know, just in short, you know, we're talking about sort of overtly progressive voices and a smaller but, yeah, comparable sort of percentage. So then where it gets, I guess, sort of complex and interesting, and again, you know, books not too expensive, so everyone go and buy it, is in the big, large middle ground. And on the kind of, you know, I hate being, you know, sort of simplistic, but on the bad side, you know, sort of related to that sort of toxic cohort, we then had the smallest cohort was this, and this is often talked about in the kind of scholarship and, you know, it's associated with things like Gamergate, was this cohort of, you know, it wasn't overtly sexist, but it was implicitly sort of provided support to that sort of toxic group. And it was essentially those kinds of, you know, kind of anti-SJW type or sort of anti-social justice warrior type comments. So people who had a sort of a, you know, a resistance, if not a hostility, towards progressivism in their hobby, which we felt it was important to kind of outline that that absolutely does provide a support. You know, if you're dismissing issues of gender and saying, oh, it's not a problem, everything's fine, then of course that implicitly supports the kind of continuance of the toxic voices. But it did feel to us very, very important that that we discuss and analyze those as two different but related threads. But the interesting thing is the largest by quite a margin group was this sort of benign sort of collection of comments. You know, the big example of that being, I mean, the most dominant sort of theme that came through across the data set that's in this sort of, you know, benign group is guys talking to, asking others in the community, or people, we should say, because, you know, as you know, with social media research, you know, you don't want to make sort of definitive claims about the kind of gender of one user or another. But the theme itself was users asking the community for strategies to get the girls and women in their life to sort of play games with them. And that by far was the sort of the biggest thing across the whole data set. Where that gets interesting is that, yes, on one level you could, I mean, you know, we didn't define that as inclusive because, you know, on one level, yes, it's really nice and positive that, you know, the sort of predominantly male gamer community is wanting to include, like, you know, literally include women in their hobby. But there was also, you know, the, for example, the suggestions of games were often heavily gendered. So, I mean, to the listeners or whatever, the classic sort of distinction is you have casual games on one hand and then you have hardcore games on the other hand, and they're very sort of implicitly gendered categories. So, you know, the fun sort of mobile games or sort of Lego games, or, you know, they're sort of lighter, girly games or whatever. And but it was important to us to not sort of just dismiss this out of hand. I mean, this was a socially positive sort of move on behalf of the people making these comments of like wanting to sort of have the women or the girls in their lives, often partners or whatever, play with them. But it was still, you know, it was still grounded in a kind of a longer term, you know, sort of heavily gendered sort of understanding about, you know, different types of games. And or maybe, you know, maybe get your girlfriend to try this game because it's, you know, it's not too hard and that sort of thing. But I think it's, you know, I think it's fair to say that that tells a complex story rather than a good or a necessarily bad story.
I think what's really important to stress again there is that, like, we didn't categorize that as inclusive. We categorized it as open. But even within that openness, like, I want to be absolutely clear that that big lump of people or lump of comments was not about, like, a dominant way to get a partner to come and play gaming. But at the same time, we know from other research that men are slightly more reluctant to traverse into more feminine ground, and perhaps they wouldn't take up their partner's hobby. So there is still this like tension here around, are they wanting to encourage their partner to join them in their hobby, but would they do the same in reverse? We don't know because we don't have the data on that. But I think it's worth stressing. That's why we called it open, because it seems relatively progressive in as much as it's not marginalizing and it's not dismissive of women. And the literature on Reddit and gaming more broadly has been around about how men kind of gatekeep and keep women out of these spaces and marginalize them. So here, there's definitely men inviting women into these spaces and wanting to encourage hobby sharing, but we don't know for sure that hobby sharing would go the other way and that men might follow women's interests as well.
You conclude the book by noting that these conversations are not, quote, relegated to the fringes, unquote. Tell us more about what you want us to take away from the book.
Yeah, look, we think it's really important to stress contestation, to point to contestation around masculinity. So one of the key themes around masculinity research has been, or masculinities research has been, about the role of this, the function of the dominant or hegemonic form and how it subordinates and is this kind of downward power structure, leaving very little room for agency. But there's a whole list of important reasons, I think, that we want to stress that when we see these different types of masculinity, especially in this hyper, you know, provisionally and usually thought of as a hyper-masculinized space, the kind of combat, I suppose, that's happening, and combat is a super masculinized way of framing it, so I apologize, but the contestation in that space is important because it tells us that there is pushback happening against something that's really negative. And part of the kind of broader project of sociology of masculinities that we're involved in is saying, hey, like, here's some space over here where men are changing. And, you know, yeah, I guess like some people might say, oh, what you're doing is saying hashtag not all men. But that's not what we're doing. What we're saying is there is room for some progress. And if we elevate and spotlight the good stuff, perhaps we've got a better chance of producing more productive and positive performances of masculinity. And that kind of stuff does shine through a few comments of the very high profile scholars in masculinity. So James Messerschmidt, as well, as I mentioned at the beginning, like has signaled that we need to look for the kinds of practices that don't legitimate patriarchal relations. Like, we need to consider that as valuable. So it's not about saying, oh, look, it's not all men. It's actually much more than that. It's about saying, so there's a minority of really powerful, loud, destabilizing, dismissive, misogynistic voices. But there's this whole swathe of people that can be used in the service of combating that negativity. So what we describe in the book is basically this, like, again, using masculinist language, like it's the fight for masculinity. It's contested terrain And we think exposing those kind of contestations is really important because we don't want to minimize the damage and harm that's done by this loud and seemingly powerful minority. But if we want a chance of demonstrating to boys and other men that actually a majority of people don't behave like that, then here it is. Here's the data that shows that lots of gamers actually either are kind of in the middle and their hearts and minds are there to be won, or even better, they're at the progressive edge and they're actually combating in the same numbers these people who are incredibly negative.
That actual line, relegated to the fringes, was, I think, a quote from Masanari from her Reddit book. It's a great book. And I guess what distinguishes our own study from, say, that, and also another great book, Toxic Geek Masculinity by Salter and Blodgett. So in that scholarship, there is an account of sort of the beginnings of change, but their understanding of it, we think, is sort of a bit binary in the sense that it's sort of like a sort of pre-existing geek masculine cohort that's resistant, hostile to change. And then there are the external forces of sort of newer non-hetero white gamers sort of coming in and, you know, and sort of seeking to sort of assert themselves. Whereas in terms of our data set, again, keeping in mind that, you know, the demographic is predominantly male. We see, yes, that absolutely is going on. But, you know, as Stephen suggests, that there's an internal process of change within that geek masculine group as well. So it's not just the sort of hostile geek masculinity versus the world, but that actual quote unquote geek masculinity clearly, at least from our data, seems to be kind of contested with itself, kind of redefining itself.
Yeah, and just finally then, I think what all of that points to is in that, this community redefining it for itself points to a really important point around like who gets to determine what change looks like and who, you know, I think what's very common in the academy is we're like, oh, look at us middle-class men over here in the ivory tower describing what positive change looks like. Well, actually, I think we're not the only ones that are capable of understanding this kind of stuff, and we're not the only ones that are capable of challenging those kinds of negative behaviors. So what we're trying to do in the book is like say, hey, look, here's the opposite of the frontline troops of patriarchy, you know, like it's the opposition to the frontline troops of patriarchy. And we don't want to say, let's give those people loads of praise and for doing the bare minimum. But what we do want to say is that they're there and the battle is there to be won. And we don't want the kind of negative toxic side to win and to take the credit for the damage that they're doing when people are out there and ready to fight back.
Hear, hear.
Today, I've been talking with Marcus Maloney and Stephen Roberts about their book with Timothy Graham, Gender, Masculinity, and Video Gaming, analyzing Reddit's Our Gaming Community. So what are you all working on now?
I was going to go have a haircut with the barber. Steve, why don't you tell them about, you've got a great paper that I'm helping out a bit with, I guess.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. So Marcus and I are working on a paper about young men and sexting, and it's drawing on some of the same concepts that we have drawn on for this book. So around vertical and horizontal homosexuality and, yeah, the ways that young men trade, I guess, and bond through the process of sexting and how that may or may not have changed and certainly has changed in various ways. And then on top of that, I'm doing this huge project of an evaluation of healthier masculinities intervention programs, which is very interesting.
I've got a paper that's basically looking at sort of masculine heroes in military video games, like sort of Call of Duty post 9/11.
Thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you. No, honestly, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.